Sue.
And this is Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Hello! Welcome to the programme that's all about families and relationships.
It's the show that's not afraid to ask difficult questions.
How can you make love with the same person for the rest of your life?
How can you make conversation with the same person for the rest of your life?
And perhaps the most difficult question of all, what's the square root of 978?
Plus, how would you react if your father confessed that for the past 30 years he'd been living a secret double life and was in fact the Reverend Ian Paisley?
Are you gullible? Do you always get taken for a ride? If so, don't despair, because you can now phone our special helpline for advice.
Calls cost £39 a minute, cheap rate, £49 peak. Our first subject tonight is health. Poor health affects nearly everyone at some stage or other.
But it especially affects the sick.
One of the oddest aspects of getting ill is that your mother always says, feed a cold, starve a fever.
Now, I think it's feed a fever, starve a cold, sir.
My mother said, feed a cold, starve a fever.
Well, she was wrong.
Sorry, are you saying my mother was wrong?
Yes.
Say it again. Go on. I dare you, say my mother was wrong. Go on.
Look, this is very silly. Now, please.
If a mother suspects that the illness is genuinely serious, her instincts will tell her to take emergency life-saving action and say, would you like a bowl of soup?
This is because mothers believe that all the advances in medical science since Hippocrates are nothing compared to a nice bowl of beef consomme.
Did you call 999?
Yes. Who are you?
We're the Paramothers.
Oh. Well, thank God. I really need mothering.
Oh, let me fluff up your pillows there. You're nice and comfy now, are you?
Oh, yeah, that's much better.
Let's feel your forehead. Oh, my, he's got a temperature.
I've got just the thing. A nice bowl of hot soup.
You know what they say? Feed a fever, starve a cold.
I thought it was starve a fever, feed a cold.
Wasn't it cold a fever, feed a starve?
Could you phone my boss and tell him I won't be in?
Oh, of course we can, you poor thing.
Tell him I'll be in tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Oh, you'll do nothing of the kind.
It's just a cold.
2 weeks in bed for you, young man.
But there's a party tomorrow night.
Look, if you're too ill to work, you're too ill for parties. Now get some rest.
Can I watch telly?
No!
You know, sir, people are always fascinated by doctors. Now, why don't the TV bosses, if they're listening, why don't they make a series all about hospitals? I mean, there must be so many possibilities.
What? You mean like medics?
Yes, okay, one show.
Cardiac arrest, ER, casualty, Paul Red, St. Elsewhere, surgical spirit, angels, nurses, Dangerfield, a very peculiar practice, the pulse, doctor at large, doctor on the go.
Yes, all right.
Emergency ward 10, Dr. Kildare, district nurse, Dr. Finley's casebook, nurse Dugdale, calling Dr. Dick, doctor at sea.
All right.
General hospital blues and twos, Great Ormond Street, hospital what?
Stop it!
And now, on this health special, we look at the miracle of birth.
Ah, miracle is the word. You know, Sue, when Pamela had our first child, it was the most moving, miraculous, wonderful moment of my life. If only I'd been there to see it. But I did send some flowers.
It's often said that pregnant women look healthy and beautiful and radiate well-being.
But in reality, a heavily pregnant stomach is very similar to a man's stomach. If he's on a daily diet of 9 pints of lager.
Dan, you look fantastic.
Yeah?
You look radiant.
You really think so?
I really do. Drinking 18 pints of Hofmeister really suits you.
You don't think I just look very big and round?
No, you just look incredibly healthy and rosy-cheeked.
Do you mind if I have a little feel?
Huh?
Your tummy?
Oh, yeah.
Can you feel it move?
Yes. It's all sloshing around in there, together with that huge curry you had and 12 packets of crisps. When are you due?
I'm due to throw up in about half an hour.
Oh, you'll soon be hearing the splatter of tiny bits of chicken korma.
Have you been feeling very nauseous?
Yeah, yeah. And hungover. Yeah. I think I'd feel better if I had another couple of pints.
You sit there. I'll get them for you.
Oh, thanks. I'm feeling quite tired.
You poor thing. Why don't you put your feet up and pass out for a while?
All right.
Obesity can, of course, affect anyone at any time.
But it mostly affects fat people.
However, there is a growing argument that obesity should be accepted as normal and even desirable.
After all, fat is just nature's way of saying you're American.
Traditionally, men have been less concerned about their weight.
But they do care desperately about their physique. Which is why so many of them spend hour after hour doing the most ridiculous activity ever performed by an intelligent life form, namely lifting up a large lump of metal and then putting it down again over and over and over.
And all because they're too proud to go into a shop and ask for a Weight Watchers lasagna. Of course, men who don't go to the gym convince themselves that 20 pounds of extra fat makes them look cuddly.
It gives a girl something to grab hold of.
But when girls say they like a man with something to grab hold of, they are not thinking about your stomach.
They're thinking about your buttocks.
And women tend to like your buttocks to be somewhere near the rest of your bottom.
Not, for example, on the floor. But while obesity remains taboo, a new technique means that overweight people can now have their cake and eat it.
In California, you can now have the excess fat sucked out of your body through a tube and straight back onto your plate. Historically, the British are reluctant to seek help from the medical profession.
And this is largely due to the fact that we are acutely embarrassed about anything to do with toilet functions.
Ah, do come in. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, the thing is, Doctor, I've got a bit of an itch. Down below.
Ah, you needn't be embarrassed. This is what I do for a living. So pop your shoes and socks off. I'll have a look.
It's not my feet. It's a bit higher up. It's my,
Your knee?
No, it's, Well, it's where chocolate comes from.
Switzerland?
No, it's what you sit on.
Ah, I see. You're having problems with your stools.
Well, they are a bit wobbly, but that's not why I'm...
Mr. Jarvis, I want to emphasize that as a doctor, none of this is the slightest bit awkward or embarrassing. Now, are you trying to say you have an irritation in your rectum?
Yes, I have.
Right. Just a minute. Hey, everyone in the waiting room, guess what Mr. Jarvis is in for? Itchy bum!
Now it's time for our health phone-in with our very own medical expert, Dr. Hoops. And our first caller is from London.
Hello. Yes, my name's Nigel, and I'm meant to be receiving care in the community.
OK, Nigel, and what's your question?
Could you tell me where the community is exactly?
Yes. Where are you now, Nigel?
I'm in a call box just outside the White Lion on Victoria Street.
Well, Nigel, I'm pleased to say you are, in fact, now in the community.
Oh. Well, in that case, could you tell me where I can find the complaints department?
Nigel, I think the point of care in the community, or homelessness, to give it its medical name, is that if you are in any way dissatisfied with the care you receive, there is an alternative solution. That is option two, which is to lump it.
Right. So there you have it, Nigel. Your second option is to lump it.
All right. Thanks very much.
Nowadays, many people believe that illness is all in the mind and can actually be cured by therapy.
But how effective is psychotherapy? Recent studies have shown that most people go to therapists because they have a deep and complex need to talk endlessly about themselves.
This inspired Dr. Marvin Fraser to develop a new technique. But how does it work?
Oh, come in, Janet. Do sit down.
Thank you, yeah.
Now, Janet, you've come to see me because you've reached the difficult and challenging stage in your life when you feel you need to bore the pants off someone. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I think, right, it would be helpful to talk incessantly about myself, yeah.
I see. Yes. Now, Janet, there's no rush. Start whenever you feel ready.
Well, I think, really, the problem is, I think, really, that I come from a very unusual family.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, she was always kind of, a mother figure to me. And I think I was forced to play the daughter role, and I think that's why I'm so confused. You see, I was the middle child. And I was also the eldest and the youngest, which was a lot of responsibility. And I had this dream, right, where I was in this lake. And it wasn't really a lake. It was a bowl, right, of cornflakes, which was inside Eamon Andrews' stomach. And I was just like...
All right, Janet, I just want to stop you there, if I may, because you have successfully bored the pants off me. Well done.
That feels much better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'm ready for the next stage, yeah?
You wish to bore me rigid?
Yeah.
In your own time.
So, anyway, I was never allowed to express myself emotionally. My parents never talked about sex, and I think that's why I just got so...
Thank you, Janet. I'm bored rigid.
Same time next week?
Yes.
Dr. Fraser's technique proved so successful, he went on to develop another system.
It's called stating the obvious therapy. It works rather like this.
I seem to have this terrible fear of dogs.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Tell me, have you ever been bitten by a dog?
Well, yes, several times.
I think there might be a connection.
Gosh, really? Am I cured?
On Life, Death and Sex, it's time for our special guest.
Some of us, when we see an injustice, simply sit on our backsides and take no part in shaping society.
Whereas others join the Liberal Democrats and take no part in shaping society.
But joining us now is one of Britain's most active campaigners, Mrs. Norma Stiles.
Mrs. Stiles, you're the chairwoman of the RSP, the Royal Society for the Prevention. Now, tell us, what exactly is the society trying to prevent?
The Royal Society for the Prevention is committed to preventing everything. If something's happening, then we attempt to prevent it. And if we can't prevent it, then we try to spoil it.
You successfully prevented St. Luke's Infant School from holding a garden fete.
That's correct. We got wind of it just in time, and we prevented it by lying down in front of the gates.
But why try to prevent things?
We strongly believe that there is too much going on. And there comes a time when you have to say, enough is enough.
Well, another thing you've prevented is the formation of a rival society.
That's correct. We heard that a group of meddling old ladies wanted to form the Royal Society for the Abolition.
But you prevented them.
We abolished them.
Just one more question, if I may.
I'm afraid I must stop you there. I've decided to prevent this interview going any further. Come on, ladies!
Stop everything now! Stop everything now! Stop everything now!
Right, thank you, ladies. And now on the line via satellite from Hollywood, we're joined by our expert on all things American, Helen Donovan.
Yes, Mike. Well, I'm afraid there's been a human tragedy of enormous proportions here. The whole of the United States is suffering from a terrible nationwide shortage of irony. It's now become so acute that Great Britain has agreed to send an RAF Hercules transporter plane with emergency supplies of irony, and they're dropping it over California as I speak.
And is the irony getting through to the Americans?
Sadly, Mike, the drop has not been completely successful. In fact, much of the irony has been completely missed. A short while ago, I asked the local mayor if he thought it was ironic that a country so short of irony should miss the irony. But he had no idea what I was on about.
Any other news from Tinseltown, Helen?
Yes, Sue. More tragedy, I'm afraid. Cult film director Quentin Tarantino has been shot dead. In a statement, his mother said it was a meaningless act of gratuitous random violence. But what the hell, it was still funny.
And now for our final topic this week, that all-important part of life, friendship.
What is a true friend?
Friend is someone you can trust with your darkest, most intimate secrets.
You can tell them you have, in your darkest moments, enjoyed watching You've Been Framed. Do you think Michael Portillo is a hunky sex god and that your favourite record is She by Charles Aznavour?
But making friends can be difficult. This is because some people like to become close very quickly, while others take more time.
Hi, I've just moved in next door and I thought I'd introduce myself.
Oh, right. Actually, we've been meaning to say hello, so, how are you settling in?
Fine, but, well, we do have a few problems.
Oh?
It's me wife. Well, she's been very slow to arouse recently.
Oh.
I don't know if she's going off me or whether she's just going off sex. I mean, I've tried extending the foreplay, going very slowly, but no luck at all. How'd you get your wife in the mood? Any special techniques?
My name's George.
Right, Chester, how'd you do? I mean, women are supposed to get randier as they get older, mind you. Have you found your wife's G-spot yet?
If there's anything you need, such as, our toolkit or anything...
Toolkit? No, don't you think it'd kill the romance? No, you see, my feeling is she's gone off sex because she's found out I'm having an affair. George, can you keep a secret?
Or, a cup of sugar.
I haven't told this to a living soul. I am... a bisexual. There, I'm out of the closet at last. Not a word, George. This is strictly between us. George. You and I think about how I've lied. Sometimes I just need a shoulder to cry on. What should I do, Georgie?
There's a very good bakery on the corner.
Look, maybe I could move in with you for a bit while I get myself sorted.
They do a very good family whole meal, and there's a nice French bistro on the high street.
Oh, I see. Take her out for a romantic meal, tell her I love her, and then go from there. Yes. Oh, you're brilliant, George. You're true a friend as no man. Oh, thanks a million. I'll see you later, George.
If you need to borrow the lawnmower.
It's often said that men are less intimate in their friendships.
I'm not so sure about that, sir. I remember when I needed help. I was having problems with my marriage, and I finally plucked up the courage to ring a mate in the middle of the night. And you know, Sue, he was terrific.
You were glad you did it.
He was marvellous. He said, "Mike, pull yourself together." And from that moment on, I've never looked back. I would never have thought of pulling myself together if he hadn't suggested it. I owe that man... my life, Sue. He pulled me back from a bottomless pit of despair. I was on the edge, Sue.
Mike, pull yourself together.
Right.
With some exceptions, most men do have difficulty sustaining a close and honest relationship with someone of their own sex.
And your name, please?
Stuart Turner.
And your specialist subject?
My best friend, Toby Green, from the age of 4 to 32.
So, Stuart Turner, you have 2 minutes on your best friend, Toby Green, starting now. Name one of Toby Green's greatest regrets.
Missing Platt's goal against Belgium in the World Cup because he was having a slash.
No, never saying goodbye to his grandmother before she died.
Eh?
How long did it take Toby to get over the breakup with Samantha Giles?
Let's see. We got to the pub at 7. He was over it by 9. It's 2 hours.
No, he's still not over it.
Come again?
And who terminated the relationship?
He did.
No, it was Samantha. In what year did Toby lose his virginity?
When he was 10.
No, he was 26. When was the last time Toby cried?
When Chelsea lost at home to Wimbledon.
No, he cried at the end of Sleepless in Seattle.
He's going to get a kick in.
What do you talk about to Toby apart from football?
I know this one. Nothing.
Correct. And Stuart Turner, at the end of that round, you have scored 1 point with no passes.
But of course, Stuart went back and told Toby that he'd got the highest score ever and had sex with Magnus Magnusson.
But however well you know them, friends are a vital part of being happy and fulfilled. Life is a lonely highway if you've no one to tag along with.
Do you have many friends, Mike?
Well, you know, sir, I always say that it's more important to have one close friend than a lot of so-called mates.
So you haven't. Now, some friendships remain technically alive when they are, in fact, in a permanent coma. These are known as Christmas card friendships.
Dear Cindy, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Let's keep in touch, love, Emma.
What that card actually means is...
Dear Cindy, I'm sending this card because I want to keep you in reserve in case my current boyfriend chucks me and I have no one to go clubbing with.
There is another type of Christmas card that goes...
This Christmas card to you we send, our truly loved and precious friend. You're always in our hearts and minds. A greater love is hard to find. From all at Tempo Dry Cleaners.
To avoid the pitfalls of friendship, some experts believe it would be better if, before choosing a soulmate, people had to go through a more formal procedure.
Silence in court.
Take the Bible in your right hand. Do you, Henrietta Doyle, swear to be Samantha Giles's best friend for life?
I do.
Do you promise always to sit next to her during assembly and let her borrow your felt tips?
I do.
Do you promise to say nice things about her boyfriends?
I do.
Even if they turn out to be hideously unappealing?
I do.
And rude, stupid, and unpleasant in every way?
I do.
What if she goes out with a large saddleback pig? Will you still say he's really nice?
I will.
Even if the large saddleback pig goes oink, oink, oink and eats your shoes, will you still say, no, really, Samantha, I do like him?
I will.
I now declare you best friends. You may now borrow each other's lilettes.
Now, probably the most difficult type of friendship of all is that between a man and a woman. It's often said that if a man and a woman are friends, it's only a question of time before one or other wants to take things further. For instance...
I'm not sure I go along with that. Some of my closest friends over the years have been women. And, I mean, we're good mates, aren't we, sir?
Well, we're...
Then it's clear nothing's going to happen between us, isn't it?
Crystal clear.
Exactly. No hint of anything, you know. We're mates, and that's all there is to it. Just friends, just mates, just muckers. Although, that doesn't mean that one's blind to the fact that you are a very attractive woman.
Pardon?
I just mean that if things had been different, who knows?
Oh, I see. If things had been different.
Yes, in a different universe. Who knows?
It would have to be very different. If you had a completely different appearance and a different personality and different character.
If I were...
Someone else entirely.
Yes.
Total opposite of what you are now.
All right. Just thinking aloud, okay.
I'm feeling a bit nauseous all of a sudden.
Now, one of the best places to meet new friends and strike up conversations is on foreign holidays.
The heady mix of cultural differences can often stimulate intellectual cross-fertilization.
Hello. I am Nigel. And this is my wife, Jane.
I'm Hirschlich.
And I am Herbstiger.
So it's Nigel and Jane.
Yes. And you're Hez Halken and Heidi... Heidi...
Herrschlich and Herbstiger.
Hackle?
Herrschlich and
Herschlick, and Herbstiger.
Right. Yes. There's the Hermesis.
Herbstiger!
In our country, we drink our beer warm.
Not so in Belgium. We like the cold beer.
You must come to England and taste our warm beer.
Yes, I will like that. And you will taste the Belgian chocolate.
They are made with the hand.
Handmade. Yes, in English you say handmade, which means made with the hands. But there's also custom made, which means it's made for your specifications. And the same with tailor made.
You are so good with the language. You are a professor, no?
Well, not officially. I'll tell you what. Warm beer and Belgian chocolates. Oh, you wouldn't want to have them at the same time.
I'm not understanding this joke.
I was just saying that beer and chocolate do not taste nice together.
You eat together?
No, never mind.
Well, this is strange. In Belgium, husband and wife eat together.
What? No, we eat together, but not chocolate and beer.
One day you have chocolate and beer, and the next day you have it.
Listen, Hestica.
Hestica!
Neither of us have it together. Now, will you forget it?
You do not eat together.
Listen, Herpes, or whatever your name is. Take your chocolate and beer and nap off back to Belgium, you sick, humourless, boring Belgium git.
Yeah. I like this sense of humour. Monty Python.
And that's about all for this week.
But there's just time for some of your calls.
We received this very irate fax about the mention of the word lilettes in an item earlier. I am horrified to be reminded of the existence of such things. The very mention of them makes me sick in the stomach. And that was from the chairman of Tampax.
And S-Tag Husk from Brussels rang in to say that we seem to be taking the mickey out of Belgians. Some of my Belgian friends may be humorless, he protested, but I do not see anything funny in this. Next week, I'll be taking a light-hearted, tongue-in-cheek look at coronary thrombosis.
And I'll be casting a wry, sideways glance at the lighter side of double incontinence.
Plus, I'll be asking a top agony aunt, what should you do if you're a married man who can't resist the temptation of forbidden fruit?
And I'll be asking, what should you do if it gets stuck?
I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this has been Life, Death, and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Life, Death, and Sex with Mike and Sue was written by Bill Dare. It starred Robert Duncan and Julia Hills with Roger Blake, Mark Kilmurray, Sally Phillips, and Dan Strauss. Music was by Mark Burton, and the producer was Pete Sinclair.
Sue, before you go off, I just wanted to say that I wasn't trying to pull anything back there when I said you were attractive.
Oh.
It was just one of those...
It's perfectly all right.
There's no interest on my part whatsoever.
I'm so pleased.
What say we have dinner together just to clear the air?
Well, quick pizza at the canteen.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I just happen to have some oysters in the fridge at home. A bottle of Moët.
Sorry, Mike, I've just remembered I have to sort out my Christmas decorations.
In midsummer?